Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. How would you react if you had stood watching Jesus die? The crowd jeered him, the chief priests mocked him, while his mother simply wept. The central event in human history drew many kinds of responses. What would yours have been? From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, more from Dr. Lutzer's series, For Us, in a message on Jesus crucified for us. We're standing now at the cross, hearing the insults hurled at Jesus from all sides.
Jesus was not crucified because he couldn't help it. He was crucified because he knew that this was God's plan that he had agreed to, and so he was bearing the sin of many. God help that crowd. They should have been saying, "Woe is us! Woe is us!" Because our sin is being paid for on this cross. We are the ones who need to repent of our hardness of heart. But the crowd didn't see it that way, did they? And the crowd still doesn't see it that way today, do they? Well, let's go on now and talk about the religious leaders, the chief priests. We're in verse 31. You'll notice it says now, verse 31, so also the chief priests with the scribes, they mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." And I want to say, give me a break. Of course they wouldn't have believed. They had seen miracles, they had seen demonic deliverance, they had seen even and known of a few resurrections that Jesus performed. You'll notice that they are different from the passersby. The passersby actually call out to Jesus, "Save yourself, come down from the cross." The religious leaders don't. They talk to one another and they say, losing all their dignity, "Well, why doesn't he come down from the cross?" And they talk among themselves. They say, "Lest if he were to do this, we would believe." No, you wouldn't believe. You wouldn't believe. You've had a chance to believe, and you are angry and full of contempt and hatred, and you will not believe. But that's what they said. Now, visualize the scene. Here you have Jesus dying. The disciples have forsaken him and fled, though John shows up later. You have the situation with the women. They are watching afar off. They had more courage than the men. God bless them. And oftentimes it's the same way today. But Jesus is dying there alone. You have all of this blasphemy taking place around him, all of the mocking, all of the ridicule, all of the contempt, all of the humiliation, horrid sins. What do we expect? Wouldn't we expect God to come out of heaven and to say, "Enough already. I'm going to just zap these people with my judgment. I am going to give them what they deserve for treating my son like this." We'd expect that, wouldn't we? But Jesus takes all of this kindly. And then something happens. If you and I had written the Bible, we'd have never come up with what follows next. Because instead of the wrath of God falling on these people who are blaspheming and ridiculing and humiliating the Son of God, something mysterious and terrifying happens. The judgment of God does fall, but not on them. It falls on Jesus of all things. Wow. Verse 32, and when the sixth hour had come, we're talking now about noon, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" What's that all about? For 3 hours, till from 9 o'clock in the morning till noon, Jesus suffers under the hands of men. Beginning at high noon, when darkness comes over the whole land, Jesus is now suffering under the hand of God. Jesus is now being made sin for us, the one who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus is now, as a sinless Savior, becoming a sin bearer. Holiness, searing holiness, coming in contact with sin, horrid, impure sin. We cannot take it in. And in those 3 hours, Jesus is going to suffer what you and I would suffer through an eternity of suffering, were it not for the fact that in those 3 hours, he bore for us an eternity of hell. Rabbi Zacharias said that he met a young Christian woman who newly received Jesus Christ as Savior, and she said that when she read the Bible and came to the crucifixion of Jesus, she was so overwhelmed with love that she wept. But when she read about hell, she became hardened and angry with God. But Rabbi said, and said accurately, you cannot understand the crucifixion unless you understand hell. Hell visited Calvary that day. Hell was there, breaking upon the Savior in darkness. We have no account of what really happened between noon and three, because there is darkness over the whole land, a darkness that could be felt, the darkness the likes of which this world has never seen, as Jesus and the Father complete the work of redemption for fallen sinners. And then Jesus cries out, "Why have you forsaken me?" You begin the crucifixion and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He says, "Father." You get to the end and the last word of the cross is, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." But now the fourth word of the cross, the middle of the seven words, he does not call him Father. It's not that he's still not his Father, but right now there's no fellowship. The Father has forsaken the Son. It's not that there was a break in the Trinity, it was a break of fellowship. And it was necessary because of the holiness of God, for who can withstand his wrath and who can endure his anger? So Jesus there is going to bear the full weight of our sin alone, separated from the Father who'd been with him all of this time. And he cries out, "Why have you forsaken me?" You see, on the cross, the whole purposes of God converged. What you have on the cross is, first of all, man did his thing, his work, namely crucifying the sinless Son of God. That's what man did. Satan did his work. He nipped the heel of the seed of the woman. That's the best he could do. He thought he had done a whole lot more, but Resurrection Sunday proved him differently. He nipped the heel of the woman's seed. Jesus did his work. He died the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. And God did his work. God was vindicated and displayed his complete justice and said, "My justice and holiness is satisfied for those who believe." And so God did his work and showed forth that he was completely righteous. Debts had to be paid, and our debt was paid when Jesus died. And so you have the purposes of God coming together in the cross of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ called and said, my God," though he did not use the word Father, notice that in his distress he still used the word my God. It was a sign and a cry not of distrust, but of distress. And by the time Jesus has finished these last 3 hours, the Father's fellowship is back. But what a horrid time those 3 hours were. So what you have is the response of Jesus and the judgment on Jesus because of our sin. No wonder worship was changed forever. Verse 38, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way, he breathed his last. Jesus breathed his last. The centurion says, truly, this man was the Son of God. And you'll notice that the curtain of the temple was torn. That curtain which separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, where the high priest could go only on the Day of Atonement once a year, that was now torn in two. And God says, in light of the fact that it is torn in two, now you are welcome to come into the Holy of Holies through the blood of Christ, as it says in the book of Hebrews. And that the barrier is gone. Gone is the Old Testament priesthood. Gone are the Old Testament sacrifices. Gone are all the rituals. Come now, come. Come into my presence because you actually live in the presence of God. And you know, my friend, when that curtain was torn, please take note that it was torn from top to bottom. I think that's very significant. What God is saying is, I'm the one that's doing this. Heaven is doing this. And the entrance to the holy place is now made available. The Holy of Holies is made available to us as sinners, and we come. And this, of course, is also emphasized in the book of Hebrews, where we continue to hear about the fact that Jesus entered behind the veil, and it's also talking about heaven, and he is our forerunner. He's there ahead of us. When Jesus died and went to heaven, and when he is ascended at the right hand of God the Father, he is there making preparation, if I can put it that way, for our arrival. Redemption is entirely complete. Jesus Christ invites us into the inner sanctum. And when we die, we are welcomed into heaven as if we are Jesus, because we are clothed in his righteousness. We've received the tremendous benefits of his sacrifice on our behalf. And to think that all of that provision was wrapped up there in the cross. That's why I think that the only hint of sin in heaven is going to be the cross. When it says, I beheld, as it were, a lamb that was slain. Perhaps the nail prints in Jesus Christ's hands. Otherwise, all of the heaven is clear. But we're reminded of sin. And forever, we will give thanks for our redemption.
Next time on Running to Win, we'll relive the final moments of Jesus' life on earth and the aftermath. Plan to join us. For Us is a 5-part series we'd like you to have on CD. It's our gift to you in gratitude for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.